Erev Tov. We a few weeks ago, when we began the series on Kriya Shema, we mentioned how Kriya Shema is unique in terms of Kavanah and Mitzvos. Normally, when we speak about Kavanah and Mitzvos, we speak about concentration that one is fulfilling a command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One's not just doing an activity that one wants to do, or doing it for any other purpose, but doing it for the divine command. And we pass in Shulchan Aruch the mitzvah Tzriches Kavana. And although there's a debate as to whether or not mitzvot min HaTorah require concentration, and even if you should assume the mitzvot min HaTorah require concentration, maybe mitzvot midrabanan, at least b'di'evet ex post facto, don't. But Lahalacha, the Mishnah Berurah, favors the opinion that certainly mitzvot min HaTorah require intent that one is fulfilling a divine command. And that is, of course, relevant directly to Kriya Shema, because Kriya Shema is a biblical commandment. But the Mishnah Berurah, notwithstanding the fact that other poskim dispute this ruling, seems to assume as well that mitzvot derabanan also, even b'di'evet, ex post facto require concentration in the sense that one is fulfilling a commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So tefillah, generally speaking, although there is a dispute whether tefillah is a biblical commandment, min HaTorah, which is the position of the Rambam and other Rishonim, or whether it's only midrabanan, which is the position of the Ramban and perhaps the majority opinion in the Rishonim, but it's probably fair to say that any given tefillah is only midrabanan, because even the Rambam holds that you yotzei tefillah on a Torah level just by davening once a day, and even that once a day is only a basic form of tefillah with shevach, bakash, and tefillah, the basic three components of praise and request and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which technically probably one is already yotzei in Birchas HaTorah. So, because you have those three components there as well, and you thank Hashem, you praise Hashem for giving us Torah, you daven that Hashem should make Torah pleasant, and always have the Torah in us. It says for our descendants, we should always be able to study Torah, and we thank Hashem for a lot that we have the Torah. So, in any, the point trying to develop is that any given tefillah, it could be even all the tefillahs, provided you had in mind at least in the brachas in the morning, theoretically one could put that in the category of a mitzvah derabanan. And therefore, there would be some posts, I believe the Magen Avraham passes that way, that concentration in terms of kavana to be yotzei, the mitzvah, so some maintain is not crucial, but the Mishnah Berurah maintains it is. So when we speak about kavana in tefillah, just as we introduced, we follow pretty much the same pattern, but just to tie it into its own unique halachos. So the first kavana we speak about is kavana to be yotzei a mitzvah. And indeed, Rav Shlomo Zalman Neubach, in his collected psukim that was published posthumously, Halicho Shlomo, so he notes that on a one level of kavanah and tefillah is that hineni mukhan mzuman, mentally to have in mind that I'm being yotzei mitzvah by praying to Kosh Baruch Hu, which is one of the fascinating aspects of tefillah, which needs analysis in and of itself, but I don't think this is the forum in which to do that. That tefillah is not just a gift, which it certainly is. You have an opportunity to speak to the chief of the whole world at any time you want to. But that in of itself is an immense, immense experience that can't be taken for granted. The Sefer HaChinuch notes this as well, this duality, that it's on the one hand it's a chesed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us a secret as to how to achieve our needs. Says there's the regular path of achieving our needs is by connecting ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Maisa Mitzvot and the Talmud Torah. And then he gave us a shortcut. The shortcut for achieving our needs through speaking to Him and asking for what we need. So that's nothing to do with the mitzvah. That's something for us. Like, there's no mitzvah to eat directly, but that's good for you to eat. Indirectly, it's a mitzvah to keep care of your health. Everything's a mitzvah indirectly. But there's no mitzvah to eat any particular item. But that's good for us. Hashem taught us that if we don't eat, then we're going to get sick. So too, concerning tefillah, if we don't connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not going to get that which we need. But in addition to that, points out the Sefer HaChinuch, but it's also a mitzvah. It's a commandment. It's either a Torah commandment, which is derived from the pasuk of Avadatem es Hashem Elokechem, La'avdo b'chol levavchem, to serve Hashem with our whole heart. and which is considered to be tefillah, or it's at least a rabbinic commandment in the position of the Ramban and the others. So that said, so ideally one should have in mind before one davens that one is fulfilling a commandment of a mitzvah like any other mitzvah to pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu. However, we noted earlier that Chai Adam is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in the context of Kriya Shema, and presumably the same thing would apply to Shemon Esrei, that kavana of having in mind to be Yosei a mitzvah probably would not be ma'akev, it wouldn't be crucial, for the following reason. That, as we mentioned, the context that the Gemara mentioned in Tzrich's kavana is always where you had another agenda in mind. So you're taking a lulav in order to wave it for some other reason, or you're blowing a shofar for musical reasons. But if the context in which you're doing it, it's clear you're doing it as an act of divine service, even though you didn't have extra kavana, special kavana, I should say, but it's as if you had kavana. So presumably the same thing can be said about if you're opening up a siddur and you're saying the formal tefillos that are in the context of the siddur ha-tefillah, the Jewish siddur ha-tefillah. So one is implicitly having in mind by davening shacharis that one is fulfilling a mitzvah. And one is implicitly having in mind by davening mincha and one is fulfilling a mitzvah and so on and so forth. Of course, that's only b'di'evid. Lechatchila, once you take a moment out before davening Shemon Esrei, that one is fulfilling a mitzvah. That's a point that the Halicha Shlomo, Shlomo Neubach makes.
Is that just before Shemon Esrei or before the whole davening?
Shemon Esrei is the formal mitzvah tefillah, the rest are introductions. I guess one should say, I didn't see this explicitly in the Halicha Shlomo, I could say that as well, that probably before the whole davening, because all the sections of davening are also at least mitzvahs derabanan. The Birch HaShachar are mitzvahs derabanan, the Pesuk HaZimra are mitzvot, at least highly recommended minhagim, maybe even mitzvah derabanan, the Birch HaKriya Shema mitzvah derabanan. So you're probably correct that you could have that kavanah before Shacharis, and that should count for the whole Shacharis. The reason I mentioned it before Shemon Esrei is I think that's the way the Halicha Shlomo said it. But you probably could have in mind before Shacharis to have in mind the whole Shacharis. And that would probably be better, because that would help have Kavanah to be Yotzei all those mitzvahs. But again, b'di'evid, just as we said for Kriya Shema, surprisingly, that very basic Kavanah, which is to be Yotzei the mitzvah, which is crucial for all mitzvahs, certainly mitzvahs min HaTorah, and the Mishnah of Paskin is even mitzvahs derabanan, which would include tefillah according to everyone, minimally that's derabanan, that one lechachila should have that in mind, but to the Eved, even though it's very basic Havana, one probably implicitly has that in mind. But, just like we said concerning Kriya Shema, that Havana means something much different when it comes to Kriya Shema, in addition to all other mitzvos. So too when it comes to Shemon Esrei, Havana means something different as well. And those different Kavanos, at least some of them, if not all of them, are absolutely essential. Just the interesting part of these two mitzvahs and the other mitzvahs like that as well, that without having at least a minimal aspect of that kavanah, one is not really Yotzei Shemon Esrei. In the past, Baruch Hashem, Mark put together another series that each unit was longer, but it was less number of weeks on kavanah. And Rav Welcher gave a share, and Rosenberg gave a share. So a lot of what will be said here is already in the archives, shall we say, the tape archives, maybe online. A lot of what I'll be saying tonight is a summary of both the Shiurim of Rav Welcher and Rosenberg together. Just as it was very important to Lacha Maisa then, so it's so too very important to Lacha Maisa now. And so Rav Welcher mentioned, quoting the Shulchan Aruch, which I'm leafing through desperately, trying to find as we're talking. But we will start from the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Aleph. That one I found. Hamispar al tzarach sheyechavein b'chol habrachos. V'meino yachal lechavein b'chulam, l'fachos yechavein b'avos. Im lo kivin b'avos, this is the Shulchan Aruch Kuf Aleph, avo b'shekivin b'chol ha-sha'ar, yachal b'yispalam. The one who davens is supposed to have in mind, is supposed to concentrate in all the brachos. If he cannot, he should at least concentrate on the first. And if he didn't concentrate in the first, even though he had in mind all the other 19 brachos of Shemon Esrei nowadays, so the first is absolutely crucial, and if he didn't have kavana, he has to daven again. And then the Ramah has this very curious psak. Nowadays, we don't go back if we didn't have kavana. Because thus, like he didn't have kavanah the first time, you're not going to have kavanah the second time. So Rav Walter noted the very out of the ordinary nature of this psak. It's basically against halacha. The Gemara says he's supposed to daven again, and the Ramah says, well, it's not going to help. But you want yotze. So on a simple plane, the Ramah is saying, listen, we'll throw up our hands. Nothing you can do about it. Try. If it didn't work the first time, it's not going to work the second. So why risk brachas levatala if you already blew it the first time? So they tell a story about the Baal Shem Tov that in debating with the first Misnagid, the Nor Bihuda, so the story goes that the Nor Bihuda was challenging the Baal Shem Tov in terms of his knowledge of halacha. So maybe this will be one addition to Rav Welch's shiur. I don't know if he said over this story. So this I got from my Rebbe Rav Shechter that was not in the Chassidic camp, but he knew all the Chassidic stories. So the Nor Bihuda supposedly doubted the Torah knowledge of the Baal Shem Tov. He thought that he was just engaging in Chassidus, but he wasn't. It was a total amaretz when it came to halacha. So he challenged him to a test. He gave him a bechina. The Baal Shem Tov's daughter was a chassida. She was a follower of the Nor Bihuda, of the Baal Shem Tov. So he asked him, "What's the lach if you get Yal V'Yavo on Ma'ariv of Rosh Chodesh?" So it's a basic halacha everyone's familiar with, that you don't go back in Ma'ariv Rosh Chodesh. All the other Yalav Yavos you have to go back for, including Rosh Hashanah, even though it's also Rosh Chodesh, but all the other Ma'arivs, if you get Yalav Yavo or whatever, the special editions for that tefillah, so then you'd have to go back. So the Baal Shem Tov gave him a non-answer. I'm sure he knew the halacha, but he wasn't so happy about the bechina, I guess. He said, it doesn't really matter what the halacha is, because by you called misnagdim, if you forgot it the first time, you forget it the second time. And by us chassidim, we'll never forget Yal V'Yavo, because we daven with such a slavus that there's absolutely no way we're going to forget. So this psak, the Ramah, is reminiscent of what the Baal Shem Tov responded to Nabi Yehuda. If you forgot the kavanah the first time, you forget the second time. The Be'er Halacha and the Mishnah Berurah and the Chayyadim, they struggle with this psak, because here you are, I understand it if you finish Manasrei. But what if you're after the first bracha? So now I was thinking of, like that story with, I think I'm repeating my stories that I said in that series of Shurim. the story of the Magid speaks, that he said he was once in Machne Yehuda, and he was taking in all the sights and sounds and smells, and then someone hit him on the chest, twice, and then he realized that he was in the middle of the bracha, Slach Lam Yenu Kichatonu. So what if you realize after the first bracha that your mind was wandering and you didn't have in mind what you're supposed to have in mind, whatever this kavana means, which we'll get to in a moment. So the Ramah would tell you, don't do it again. Don't do what again? But you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So don't say the first bracha again, just go further. But you have another 18 brachas that are now going to be Levatala. So maybe you should just stop dead in your tracks and try again for Mincha. So the Ramah leaves that very open. Doesn't say. It sounds like in the Ramah, just keep going. So the Mishnah Berurah bends over backwards there. He says, well, maybe in that kind of case, you should wait till the Chazan daven Shemoneh Esrei, and then have in mind for his bracha. Maybe he doesn't have kavanah. So it's very tricky. I'm just pointing out the tension here. The stakes are very high. The easy solution is have kavanah in the first bracha. So people sometimes think, have kavanah in the first bracha, that's rocket science. Not so hard to have kavanah in the first bracha on a minimal level. That's the Mishnah Berurah quotes. I deliberately held it till now. Sheyachavein, hainu, pirish hamilos. To understand what you're saying? Alkein, ma nochon ma'od lahamonim, sheyilmadu pirish hamilos, shalkoa tfila. See, it's interesting. He says, the masses. Why is he saying the masses? The Talmidei Chachamim, they know the words. So the Hamonim, the masses, they don't necessarily know Hebrew, so they should learn the words. But just to expand the Mishnah Berurah, of course, is relevant to everybody. Because the only way to understand the words, if Hebrew is not your first language, and even if it is, by davening by rote, which has its own dynamic, why we have a set text for tefillah, you need to daven slowly. And this is something that Rabbi Kaplan develops in his book on the Jewish meditation, that the Chassidim Harishonim used to daven for an hour. As the Gemara records, they daven for 9 hours. 1 hour preparation, 1 hour davening, 1 hour cool down. You can't just go into the world after davening. So the Gemara asked the famous question, 9 hours? So what are you going to do? How are you going to learn? But I didn't take care of anything else. So since they were Hasidim Harishonim, they were Hasidim, so Hashem took care that their learning was remembered. The Gemara doesn't add, but presumably means that as well. And they also had Parnassa and were able to have a family, etc. But, so we don't invest an hour into davening. And that's, even tzaddikim generally don't invest an hour into davening, with rare exception. But if you just get a sense of what kind of concentration ideally should be invested into tefillah. So he makes a cheshbon, and Mark Frankel mentioned to me, I didn't get a chance to look it up inside, that there's a Madura Kam and Madura Basra on this, the first version and the second version. It's working out the math. If they davened Shimon Esrei for an hour, so how long it takes to take each word, to say each word? So I think it works out, one version says 7 seconds, another version 4 seconds. Just to give you a sense of what it would mean to have utter concentration. Okay, and let's say it's not utter concentration, you at least need a second. A half a second. Baruch, if it's not your first language, and even if it is, you need a second of contemplation just to focus on the word Baruch. We all know what Baruch means. Blessed. With all the drushes of Baruch, maybe in subsequent weeks we'll discuss some of the phrases, but Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you. You're the one I'm talking to right now. Even though I can't see you, but I know you hear my voice. Baruch atah Hashem. Just to take the time out, it's tried and proven. I say when I learned about Kavana, when I succeed in doing this, I cannot say I always succeed in fulfilling the machaber of the first bracha, but oftentimes I'm able to do at least that. It's not so hard. Just gotta take the time out. And even if one is in a rush to get to work, etc., but the first bracha just says another, it could add another 10 to 15 seconds. To be able to easily have kavana, to be yotzei, l'chol adeis, and shmon esrei. Just have to slow it down, because if you just say it quickly, so then quickly the mind wanders, and then once the mind's wandering, so then you just take the cruise to the next bracha without really focusing on it. It could be, and I'd like to check this up a little more, just to, you know, to be malamis chus on all of us, that it could be that you don't really have to have kavana in every word, as long as you got the essential gist. But I'm a little hesitant to say what is the essential gist. You know, presumably if you skipped one or two words in that bracha, it might not be absolutely crucial. But which words are crucial, which aren't? The general rule is you got to get the gist of it. I don't know what the gist or not is, but presumably if you lost your focus for one word, the two, you'd still be yotzei. The Mishnah Berurah even quotes a Rashba who suggests that maybe even if you lost your kavana between the words, you're not yotzei. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, have Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. You can't follow that Rashba, that cannot be normative. It's a normal human process that a lot of times the attention is diverted. So even if you're going to have to insist, you're going to have kavana on all the words, but if your concentration diverts, so you take some time out to reconcentrate, and especially the way they teach in Sefer Chassidus, the way to change the concentration is not by banishing the thought, but by filling the mind with something else. So that thought is the next word. Melech, Elokeinu, Elokei Avram, etc. It's fairly easy to do, provided one invests a little more time into the first bracha. And of course, ideally, when one has time, into the entire Shemoneh Esrei. Of course, it's b'di'evit to just only have concentration on the first. But that's our primary focus for this evening. So that's the first minimal kavana. One could make a good case that that is the most basic kavana in davening. And when one has that basic kavana in davening, then one will also have something that Bez Hashem will pick up with on Sunday, the extra kavana in davening, which is also essential, which is that you're talking to Hashem. If one has concentration on the words and knows what the words mean, then that's going to be included. Because you're saying, Baruch Atah Hashem. So that means that you are standing before God, which is the second kavana that we'll deal with Hashem on Sunday. We're going to discuss a total of three kavanos that are beyond the kavana for mitzvah. The kavana of the words, which, as we mentioned, might include some of the others as well. Kavana of standing before Hashem. And the kavana of really needing that which you are asking for and recognizing the fact that it comes from Hashem. So whether all of those are ma'akev or not is a question which we'll discuss, we'll try to discuss. The first two certainly are, at least for the first bracha. But when you have intention for the words, by slowing down the first bracha a bit, So that helps focus on both of those two forms of concentration.
I don't know if he redid the chesed, I just think he came up with a different eitzah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hmm.